In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the Gospels, people are always asking things of Jesus. They ask for healings, healings for themselves or others. They ask questions about life and the hereafter. In fact, Jesus is in such demand that he periodically has to go away from the crowds and rest a while. And some of the best known gospel stories are about such people who encounter Jesus and are healed of a disease or a demon. When we hear those stories, we think to ourselves, how fortunate was that leper that Jesus came into his village? We generally think that people of good faith who come to Jesus leave the experience cured or uplifted in some way. But that isn't always the case. There's the story, for instance, of the rich man who comes to Jesus and asks what he needs to do to be saved. And Jesus tells him, "Why are you asking me? You know the commandments." To which he replies, "I've kept all these commandments since my youth." And Jesus says, "Great, then you're almost home. Now just sell everything you have and give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven." I love the verse in Luke's gospel that gives us the rich man's reaction. It says, "But when he heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich." And you get the sense that the rich man just kind of wandered off with his head down. Well, today we get the story from John's gospel of the Pharisee Nicodemus, who only shows up 3 times in the Bible, all in John's gospel. He shows up here in chapter 3, again in a cameo in chapter 7 to defend Jesus to his fellow Pharisees, and finally, at the end of the gospel, to anoint Christ's body for burial. Today's passage is the only one where he actually speaks to Jesus. And by the end, we get the sense that Nicodemus was more confused than when he started. Jesus practically reprimands Nicodemus, saying, "Are you a teacher of Israel and you do not understand these things?" I think if we're honest with ourselves, we would have been just as confused as poor old Nicodemus. How would we have reacted to Jesus when he said, "No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." The rich man in Luke may have been disappointed, but it was certainly clear what Jesus expects of him. Nicodemus probably isn't sure what kind of instruction he's just received from Christ. In truth, we don't know what Nicodemus thought when he left Jesus that night. So we have to ask ourselves, what do we make of Jesus' words to Nicodemus? There was a German Lutheran pastor in the 20th century named Martin Niemöller, and he was arrested and imprisoned in a concentration camp for anti-Nazi activity. And after the war and liberation, he said this about his experience and about the Nazis' treatment of people. He said, "At first, the Nazis came for the socialists, and I did nothing because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did nothing because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did nothing because I was not a Jew. And when they came for me, there was no one left to speak for me." Now, one group not mentioned in Pastor Niemöller's list are those that the Nazis killed for what they called feeble-mindedness, those with mental illnesses or disabilities. The Nazis looked at these people and believed they offered no material benefit to society and should therefore be removed. 20 years after the end of World War II, a Canadian man living in France named Jean Vanier invited 2 men living in an institution for the mentally disabled to come live with him in his home. And that first community of three, an appropriate number for Trinity Sunday, formed the very first L'Arche community, L'Arche being French for the Ark. The L'Arche community now has almost 150 homes in multiple countries where people of different cognitive abilities live together in community. For that life work, Vanier was awarded the Templeton Prize this year, given annually to someone who has made an exceptional contribution to affirming life's spiritual dimension, whether through insight, discovery, or practical work. Vanier and the L'Arche community knew that the Nazis were totally wrong. A human being is more than what their bodies and talents allow them to physically accomplish. Jean Vanier took to heart Jesus' words, "You must be born from above." Jesus wants us to see the world and especially our fellow human beings not just for what they can functionally accomplish, but as having value and bringing blessing because they too are part of God's creation. All humanity is created, as the book of Genesis tells us, in the image of God. We are to be born from above by seeing this world from that view, to affirm life's spiritual dimension. Is that the one-time experience that is often described in evangelical circles as being, quote, born again? I'm sure for some people it is. And thanks be to God that people have been saved as a result of being born again in this way. But even for those of us who can't pinpoint an exact time and place, when and where we were, quote, born from above, we are called to see the spiritual worth in our relationship with God through Christ and with God's creation. There's a story of a professor at Yale Divinity School who encountered a street evangelist on his way to work one day. And when the evangelist asked him, "Are you saved?" the professor responded, "Every day." Jesus wants us to be born from above every day. And that starts with seeing God's Holy Spirit at work in the world around us, giving thanks to God for all the blessings we've received, and praying that Christ would be with us in our journey through this life. Amen.